Lord to have his way in the remainder of this service and to anoint, amen, the evangelist tonight. The Lord would just touch him. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Thank you.
Well, one more time, let's lift our hands toward heaven. Go ahead and give God all the glory. Give him the honor for what he is going to do in his house tonight. Amen. Lord bless you abundantly. We certainly appreciate each of you being in the house of God. Preacher's coming to be with us. Brother Stewart, good to see him. And prayed for us many times and concerned about us as others have been and are. And we just thank God for each testimony tonight. The Lord bless you abundantly for your testimonies, okay? Appreciate the offering. God bless you abundantly for your giving. I want to get right in the Word of God. And that is, I want to go to the book of Luke tonight, chapter number 16. I want to talk to us tonight concerning about hell. We've had those that have testified about it. The Holy Ghost moved on me before I came that maybe tomorrow night we'll go in another route. I don't know, but I know where we've headed the last two nights, and that is preaching to the church. And as Brother Mike Maxson said, being repetitive, preaching is reaching. And that's what we're doing, trying to reach tonight. I just want to read one verse of Scripture, and that is Luke 16 and 19, and we'll get on in the Word of God. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And may God help me and anoint me here tonight. You may be seated. In looking at this concerning the rich man, I want to show you in the own start concerning how that there were four requests that this man made. If you'll notice in verse number 22, the Bible tells us, we know how that Lazarus had died, and how the Bible tells us that angels came and took him to Abraham's bosom. And in the process of doing that, we, you know, hell is against us, period. Amen. And no doubt that in a time of death, the devil's going to try to do everything he can to keep us from making an end to the kingdom of God. Amen. Now, won't you listen to me? For the Bible said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness in this world, and spiritual wickedness in high places. And so how that we're looking concerning how that when a child of God dies, now the Bible tells us when the rich man died, angels didn't come for him. But the Word of God said when Lazarus died, sir, how that angels came and carried him to Abraham's bosom. And if you will allow me tonight, maybe in total agreement here, could I just tell us how that even in death, the devil is trying to keep us from the kingdom of God. Amen. Say amen. Amen. And that's what we find here. The Word of God tells us concerning the rich man that he cried out and he asked for mercy. He said, would you show me mercy? The Word of God tells us that he would come. Would you have mercy upon me? But there is no mercy in hell. Right. Number two of verse number 24 said in the Word of God, to dip his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Several years ago, I preached several meetings and preached camp several times at Falk. I remember one particular meeting of being there. I wasn't preaching that year, but just always enjoyed being in service. And Brother Gary Hampton was preaching that particular morning. And he had preached a message on hell. And in the latter part of his message, and not knowing that he was going to call on me, he turned and said, "I want Brother MacDonald to come and help me and say what's on his heart and help me in his altar service." I walked up, and as I did, he had a cup of water there. And standing there, God dealt with my heart. And I quoted the scripture how that the Bible said, he said, "Let him dip his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame." And I remember that morning that I took my finger and put it in there and held it up to hundreds that were in that service. I said, "There's not much water on the tip of one's finger. There's not much water." And as I stood there, the Holy Ghost made it real to me. And God spoke to my heart and said these words, and I said it to those people. What he was saying is that if I could get a drop of water today, you know what that would mean? It would mean hope. If I could just get a drop of water today, the next day I'll get a teaspoon. The next day I'll be able maybe to get a tablespoon. The next day perhaps a cupful. But could I tell you, there is no water in hell. There is no hope in hell. And then he asked a question. He said, made a request that Lazarus would go back and testify to his brethren. And the word of God tells us that Abraham spoke to him. And I love this. If they would not hear them, listen. But could I tell us that the prayers are unanswered in hell? They're unanswered in hell. And on and on and on concerning the things that he spoke about. I want to talk to us tonight about this place called hell. We read, and I want to ask us a question tonight. If the church, and the brothers already made mention tonight, If the church age believes in hell, why does the church age live as though there is no hell? Amen. I mean, if the church today really believed in hell, why are we living as though there was no hell? And why is the church saying and living as though there was no hell? I read concerning a man named Albert Muncy. Albert Muncy was a man several years ago in the 1800s, was saved when he was 17 years old, preached for 44 years. And the Knoxville Tribune said these words about him. Said he was the most eloquent pulpit orator of the South, this man. It made mentions, he said these words, "In these dark, desperate days, we need preaching on death is sure, hell is hot, eternity is forever, sin is the reason, Christ is the cure." I love that. Sin is the reason, Christ is the cure. This man, I want to look at the statements that he said to us. He said, "Death is sure." And could I tell you and I tonight, death is a sure thing. Just as sure when a man or woman is born, they start toward that place of death. Eventually, there'll come a time. I have preached, and 40 some odd years of preaching, I have preached many, many funerals. I preach funerals of babies. I preach funerals of teenagers. And then likewise those in the mid-time of their life and elderly men and women. I know what it is to preach funerals of two people, you know, two at a time sometimes. And on and on and on. But the thing is, sir, there'll come a time as sure as I'm born that I'm going to die. I've seen the time that I've been in convalescent home. I've seen the time and I've been there standing outside of a room, and it was though you could almost feel death. As death was walking down a hallway. Death was coming down a corridor and going to walk in the room. That card has been pulled, and it was time that God said, "Your time is up." You know, you've heard the story concerning Queen Elizabeth in days gone by. And in the process of hearing that, she looked and said these words to the physician that was there with her and said, "Could you give me more time?" He said, "You don't have any more time." She said, "All my crown jewels I would give for one more moment of time. I've stood by the bedside, sir, of many saints. I've stood by the bedside of those that weren't prepared to meet God. And I'm telling you, it's a horrible thing. I've seen them enter into eternity without God. I've seen them slip out of this world without God, knowing that they were going to meet their Maker." And the writer said, "Death is sure. Death is sure. And hell is hot. Hell is hot." I mean, a place that spoke about outer darkness. Hell is a place of outer darkness. Hell is a place where an individual will be continually falling, sir. Hell. I want you to look at this tonight. I want to read this to you tonight. Hell, the prison house of despair. Here are some things that won't be there. No flowers will bloom on the banks of hell. No beauties of nature we love so well. No comforts of home, music and song. No friendship of joy will be found in that throne. No children to brighten the long weary night. No love nor peace nor one ray of light. No blood-washed soul with beaming face bright. No loving smile in that region of night. No mercy, no pity, no pardon, no grace. No water, oh God, what a terrible place. The pains of the lost no human can tell. Not one moment's ease. There is no rest in hell. Hell, the prison house of despair. Here are some things that will be there. Fire and brimstone are there, we know, for God in His Word has told us so. Mercy, remorse, or memory, remorse, suffering and pain, weeping and wailing, but all in vain. Blasphemers, swearers, haters of God, Christ rejectors, while here on earth trod. Murderers and gamblers and drunkards and liars will have their part in the lake of fire. The filthy, the vile, the cruel, and the mean. What a horrible mob in hell will be seen. All the torments of eternal woes and eternal hell. There is a literal burning hell. Eternity. Listen to it. Eternity. In your Bible, sir, there's only one place in the Word of God you're going to find the word eternity. And that's in the book of Isaiah, chapter 57. I was in service with a precious preacher man a couple of weeks ago. And he preached a message on eternity. He preached an outstanding message. And a young preacher, and I say that very respectfully, was sitting next to me. And I said, "You know, eternity is only one time mentioned in the Word of God. Like the word determination, that's only one time in the Word of God, determination." And I said, "It's only one time, eternity." And when I said that, you know, he tapped me on the shoulder. He said, "Why? Why would God put it just one time?" I said, "That's it, son. You've got one time around to get ready for eternity, period. You've got one time around to be ready for eternity." You know, and he said eternity. Listen to what it said. I love what one man said about that. Hell and eternity are real. Hell and eternity are real. Eternity, oh God, has wound up thy clock. It will never run down. Its ticking, its beatings will be heard by the lost throughout eternity. And it will be ticking forever. 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 the ticking of the clock that will be wound and has been wound up. There is no beginning, sir. There is no beginning. In the beginning, God. When did it begin? It's always been. Always will be. Throughout infinity, forever, eternity. Time without beginning or end. The endless time after death. To know that what? That I died and went to hell without God forever. And forever and forever and ever and ever. It'll never stop. It'll never stop. I mean, that clock continually ticking. That clock continually going forever and forever and forever. It said here, death is sure. Hell is hot. Eternity forever. Sin is the reason. Sin is the reason. Sin, it happened in the Word of God. The Bible tells us in one place how that it croucheth at the door. And can I tell us sin, but I love this. Christ, thank God, Christ is the cure. I mean, Christ can take care of any sin. Doesn't make a difference who we are. Doesn't make a difference how far in sin we've gone. I'm telling you, I love this. Jesus said in the Word of God, He said, I do cures tomorrow. Thank God, I'll do cures continually. You know, when Christ was on the cross, the Bible said, He said, it is finished. And sir, could I tell you, when He said, it is finished, He turned it over to the church. It's up to you and I now, what are we going to do? But the Bible tells us in Revelation chapter 21, He says, it is done. It is done. Thank God. I want to shout in the mouth of hell tonight. Thank God. He's going to do remedies. He's going to do cures until He said, it is done. Somebody said, I've done this. You'll never know the sins that I have committed. You'll never know what I have done. I have sat in the presence of men that have took other men's lives, sir. I've sat in the presence of those that have lived hard lives. I lived a hard life. But I want to shout it tonight. He's still in the saving business. I said He's still in the saving business. No matter what we have done, no matter how we have lived, no matter how far in sin we have gone. The Bible tells us the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. I love it. Thank God, every sin that we've ever committed, everything that we have ever done, He's still in the saving business. The Word of God talks about those that were effeminate, and on and on and on. And Paul said, and such were some of you. And such were some of you. Thank God for the saving grace of Christ of picking people up. And God will move in hearts and lives. I've been there. I've been around those. I pastored a lady years ago, moved in our area. Came in, moved down to take care of her dad, an elderly gentleman. Come to find out she had been a streetwalker at one time. Had been in the penitentiary, had been shot and everything else. We'd gone and handed out tracts in that community. And you wonder sometimes, will it pay off? I mean, what we're doing, we hand out hundreds of tracts. And just here a while back, we visited 200 homes in one Saturday morning, sir, of visiting and handing out tracts. Time went by. And on a Sunday morning, this lady called me and said, Pastor MacDonald, we want to come. Won't you know if we are we welcome? I said, lady, you're welcome. I'm telling you, she came and committed her heart and life to God. I love it, don't you? Thank God, I love it because He said, whosoever will. Buy it without money. Thank God, buy it without price. No matter how far in sin we have gone, will God forgive me? Yes, He will. Will He save me? Yes, He will. The Bible said it's not God's will that any should perish, but all come to repentance. The devil's desire tonight is to tell you that God will not save, that God will not deliver, that God will not pull you out. We've got people sitting here tonight that if hell had his way, you'd be in eternity lost without God tonight. Lost without God. But thank God for an opportunity. Thank God for a chance. I never will forget, several years ago, one of my neighbors had called and asked me, said, my grandmother did. She said, my grandson is in the hospital. He's about 15 years old, born with a heart murmur. And really, he had lived beyond the time that doctors had said he would live. He had gone to school at that time with Shad and Shannon. And I remember I walked in. His dad was an alcoholic. You couldn't hardly walk in a man, walk up the driveway without kicking beer cans out of the way of where that young man lived. And I remember I walked in. The Holy Ghost had spoke to me. I walked in. That boy laying there, his eyes almost swelled shut and his face all swelled up. And the doctors had told him, said, it's only a matter of time. He may live throughout the day. He may not live throughout the day. And his dad was there, had his head down on the bed. Mother standing over the side, and his brother was there. And I stood there, and I walked over to him, and I spoke to him. And I introduced myself. I said, you know, he said, yes, sir, I know you. I know you. I go to school with Shad and Shannon. I said, that's right. I said, I'll ask you a question, son. I said, you're going to die. You know, it comes a time you got to be frank with people. All right. It comes a time, I said, you are going to die. And my question is, are you ready to meet God? Are you saved? He said, no, sir, I'm not ready to meet God. I said, do you want to be saved? He said, yes, I do. I'm telling you, the presence of heaven came down in that room. The presence of heaven came down. The rescuer came. Christ came. Emmanuel, God with us, came. Salvation came in that room. I left and went home. Could I tell you, in just a matter of hours, his grandmother called and said, Brother MacDonald called his name, said he passed away. Would you preach his funeral? Hear me, friend. I said, sure, I will. Great God of heaven. You know, God is reaching, trying to bring sinners out, trying to move, trying. I've gone and talked to people, sir, and told them, said, God sent me here. I went to a man. I ran it by you last night. The next person, hear me. Three people God told me that never to pray for them again. Don't ever pray for them again. One of them's in hell tonight. The other two are on their way to hell. Why? Because they reached that deadline with God. But I'm glad tonight, thank God, that the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, is still reaching. The blood of Jesus Christ, his son, is still pulling for souls that are lost. Christ made mention concerning, he made one of the worst and spoke one of the worst definitions of hell than anybody ever did. Christ himself. I want to read it to you. The word of God tells us, listen to it. The word of God said, if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands than to go to hell. That's what he said. He said, you know how bad hell is? Jesus said in the word of God, he said, better than you cut your hand off. Better you cut your hand off and to enter into the kingdom with me than to die and go to hell and have both hands. I want to ask you something tonight. What is it? What is it that your hand is going to cause you to miss out with God? What is it that you are doing? What is it tonight? Hear me. What is it tonight that God has spoke to you time and time again and said that you're doing with that index finger. Help me while I preach. That tonight. What are you doing? That hand tonight's causing you to sin. That hand tonight's going to cost you your life with Christ. And Jesus said in the Word of God, if thy foot offend thee, you cut it off. Can you imagine that? If your foot is offending you, you cut it off.
All right.
Where am I going? Where am I going that I should not be going? How many times has he said, don't go there anymore? How many times have you vowed and said, God, I vow to you, I'll not go there? How many times have you said, I'll not do that? And then he tells us in the Word of God, he said, if thine eye offend thee, you pluck it out. I mean, he is saying, you don't want to go to hell. He is saying, cut off the sources of temptation. That's what he's saying. What is it tonight that I'm looking at? What is it tonight? Hear me, church. What is it tonight? The Bible tells us in the Word of God in the book of Lamentation, mine eye has affected my heart. My eye have affected my heart. What is it that I'm looking at? What is it tonight that I am so involved in the filth and the things of this life? We're living in such a damnable time. You know that? We're living in a time tonight, I'm telling you, of sin, sex, ungodliness, and filth going on throughout our land. Hell is trying to sell everything he can to us. In the book of Romans, it talks about gave them up to uncleanness. God gave them up to vile affection. God gave them over to a reprobate mind. You know what he tells us in the last verse of that? Who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. That eye. What is it? What is it? That no way whatsoever that one would do, but they enjoy watching someone else do it.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
What is it, Mama? What is it when the children are put to bed, then we're watched the R-rated? My wife made mention, Brother Stewart and his brother. We had one of the hurricanes that came through years ago, Hurricane George. My wife was in the hospital with a brain aneurysm for 17 days. They didn't give me no hope, none. When that hurricane came through, me and Shannon wrote it out in the church, brother. We was there when 3 foot of water came in. Trees falling everywhere. The next day, we were there and when the water was up, we was living in a trailer at that time, and water had already come up over a 4 foot fence coming in, gonna come into the trailer in our house, our home. And one of my men had a 22 foot skiff, and it was late in the evening, and one of my sons said, Dad, we'll take care of this. Me and the church will take care of it. We'll get all the furniture out, Daddy. You need to go to the hospital and check on your mother. I want you to listen. I didn't have anything under a mattress. I was worrying about men in my church finding. There wasn't nothing hid in the closet, sir, that I was worried about my sons finding in my house. Come on now. Thank God. You're looking at a sanctified man here. Thank God of heaven. If my eye offends me, pluck it out. What am I watching? Where am I going? What am I doing? What am I doing that God said? You need to quit doing it. You need to quit going there. You need to quit watching that. Hell is not worth it, sir. Hell is not worth it. Brother C.C. Johnson, I'm closing with this. Brother C.C. Johnson, a precious preacher of days gone by, I heard him tell concerning how that he was preached a revival at a certain church, and that week, first night, a young man came up to him feeling Holy Ghost conviction. And that first night, he came to him after church was over with. He said, "Brother Johnson, I don't want to go to hell. Brother C.C., I don't want to go to hell." And Brother Johnson preaching and reaching for the lost every night. All the way, said every night, that young man in his 18 years old, tell him, "I don't want to go to hell." And they were to close that Sunday night. And Brother Johnson spoke to the pastor, and because they were good friends, both of them men of God, he said, "I feel like going on." He said, "Let's go on a few more nights then." Monday night, Tuesday night, that young man in service with him, Wednesday night, he wasn't there. He said, "I started to turn and say something to the pastor about it, and someone else come up and spoke to me right before service. I was going to ask him where they were at." And he said he just walked off, went ahead and conducted the service. After service was over with, I asked him, I said, where was the young man? He said, "You remember last few nights, another young lady had been coming with him." He said, I remember that. He said, "Brother Johnson, I didn't want to tell you, but I got a phone call right before service. They were all three drinking. They got in an argument over that girl. That boy took a gun and blew that other boy's brains out." Can I tell you, he didn't want to go to hell, but he did. You're in this house tonight. My question is, are you right with God? My question is there anything you holding on to? Is there anything tonight? You know, we cannot put anything before God. I must make up my mind that God, you're first. I must make up my mind I'm going to heaven. I'm telling you, eternity is ticking away. Eternity is ticking away. 10 years from now, 100 years from now, 1,000,000 years from now, to know that I'm lost and never get out of hell. Are you ready tonight? Are you prepared to meet God tonight? I wonder, while every head bowed tonight in this house, I want you praying with me, church. God, tonight I'm asking you, God, deal with men and women. Thank God. Our sister may be coming with a song tonight. While God speaks to your heart, my question is, are you ready to meet God? Do you know without a shadow of a doubt in your mind that you're prepared to meet God? And then I want to ask every one of us in this building tonight, is there anything that I'm holding on to? Is there anything tonight that God has convicted me of? Anything tonight that God has been talking to me about? And said, "I want you to quit doing that. I want you to quit going there. I want you to get rid of that. That is a temptation to you that you're looking at. I want you to do away with it." I wonder tonight, could I see one hand in this building? And you'd say, "Preacher man, God has dealt with me in this service. I need to get closer to God. I want to see your hand in this building." Thank God for that. That one, that one, that one. I need God. Thank God for that hand. I see it tonight. I need God. I don't want to go to hell, preacher. I don't want to die lost. I want you to stand with me all over this building. Won't you look at me? You take a knife. Cut your foot off. Pluck your eye out. Better to do that than to die lost. You know, the more we pray and the more we live for God, He'll speak to us about things. He gives us time. We grow. We mature. It's called progressive. It's called progressive sanctification. Progressive sanctification. Listen, I love you as much as I love my own soul tonight. I realize I'm pulling here. I'm not a novice. I didn't start yesterday, sir. There's some of you in this building tonight, God has been dealing with you and saying there's some things you need to cut loose from. There's some things you've been in church long enough to know you need to cut loose from that. Heard about two men that were out on a boat and they'd been drinking. And they said, let's just go to the other side of the lake. And they just kept drinking and paddling and drinking and paddling until eventually they passed out. Said the next morning they woke up, they never had cut loose. Rope still tied to a tree. What is it tonight you had never cut loose from? What is it the Holy Ghost has been dealing with you about? God been speaking to your heart about and said, you need to cut away from that. You need to do away from that. Get away from that. I wonder tonight, while this altar's open, I want to make it 100% tonight. 100%. And say, tonight, I'm going to get down to business with God. Tonight, I'm going to give everything to God. I want you to come. Come on, that's it. All over the building. Find us somewhere. Let God talk to our heart tonight. Let God deal with us. Lord, I want to know without a shadow of a doubt that everything is right in God. I don't want to go to hell.